Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome into another edition of Flight Plan. Tim McMaster here along with Zach Rosenblatt. The 2024 jet season, it is over mercifully. Time to win that offseason, get a new GM, get a new head coach, and turn this thing around. We decided not to immediately look back on the 2024 season. A little too fresh, too painful. We'll get to that eventually. But instead, because we're coming off of Black Monday and all the requests that the Jets put in for head coaching candidates and GM candidates, we're going to get into all of those and touch on every single one of them on this episode. But it was Baggy Day as well. Black Monday, Baggy Day, the same thing, depending on the state of your team, I guess. It was an interesting Black Monday because the Jets had already done all the firing.
Yeah, exactly.
Season. So it made for a weird day, I guess. Like, let's start there with Baggy Day. You were at the facility. Not a lot of players talking, but, you know, what was it like over there? What was the feelings and vibes that you got from the players who did speak, especially the ones who might be around next year?
I mean, yeah, there's only one that I'm like confident will be back next year, and that's Sauce Gardner.
Sauce, right?
And he had some great quotes. I mean, everybody's seen them by now, but, you know, I asked him about his contract and his desire to get a new one, and his answer was less about the contract, more about wanting to be with the Jets for a long time. And he had a great line about how, like, if I left and then they figured it out, then it would be hard for him to deal with and he'd become the number
one. That's interesting perspective, though.
Yeah. Because he really wants this team to be good. And I know, and I went on with Boy Green actually this morning, and I told him people kind of went a little too far with the criticism for Sauce this year. Like, I know he wasn't, he had some bad games. He was more inconsistent, but if you look at the totality of the season, he was still one of the 5 to 10 best corners in the NFL by stats in terms of how infrequently he was targeted, forced incompletions. He needs to get more interceptions. He needs to improve his tackling and maybe a few less penalties. But like, I'm not as concerned about the penalties as the tackling and lack of picks. And so anyway, Sauce had some great quotes. He was our media good guy of the year, well-deserved, because he always answers questions and you can talk to him about his locker, and he kind of lingered and just hung out with us for a while, which was cool.
It's interesting though, because a lot of times the media good guy of the year is like further down the roster, right? Yeah. A little less of a star than Sauce Gardner.
For sure. And they're usually not that young either. It's usually a veteran who's been around a while. Like, you know, in the past it's been CJ Mosley, Tyler Conklin, Sheldon Rankins, guys like that. But yeah, so his quotes are telling about the future. You know, we talked to Devontae Adams, CJ Mosley, Tyron Smith even spoke for the first time, maybe since the season started. I think there might've been one more. DJ Reed kind of shot the breeze with him at his locker. But yeah, these are all guys that aren't going to be here next year, most likely. I mean, Conklin, I think he'd be open to coming back. I think CJ would be open to coming back, but you know, the message was kind of consistent in that from what Breece Hall said on Sunday, which we didn't talk after Sunday, but Breece basically said like, it's hard to win when you fire your GM and head coach in the middle of the season. Like they had a lot of problems and those weren't the only ones, but they had a hard time overcoming the shock of especially the Saleh firing. And I think that kind of laced a lot of the comments yesterday. There was a lot of talk about what the next coach needs to be in terms of like being a leader and, you know, the accountability that needs to be in this building and things like that. But, you know, there's a lot of great quotes. Devontae had some really interesting quotes and he talked about, you know, the idea of coming back, whether it's with or without Aaron. When I asked him, like, would you consider coming back if Aaron did not? And all he said was potentially, but it depends on everything. Like he has no, who the quarterback's going to be, the coaches. Like, I don't think he'll come back, but, you know, ultimately for me, most telling thing or most takeaway you can take from a day where not many guys talked, Aaron didn't talk, is that Woody Johnson was not willing to talk about, you know, his role and what happened this season. All the things that have been written about him. He gave one interview to the New York Post for the second straight year, gave him a one-on-one. He took one question from us Sunday, where Rich Amini asked him his evaluation of the season. And he basically celebrated the last win as if everything else before it didn't matter. And then he was pulled away by the PR staff and they decided that was enough of a media availability for the year. When he fired Joe Douglas, he fired Robert Saleh, he pushed for the trade for Devontae. There's been our report about him. There's been other things out there about him meddling and his role in all the mess. And he opted to let Jeff Ulbrich, who will not be here next year, and he opted to let CJ Mosley, who will not be here next year, and all these guys have to answer for the season when Woody is a big reason why they are where they are. And he, you know, I think the fans could have stood to hear something from him about the future and how involved he's going to be going forward and how they're approaching this process and maybe address some of the concerns that have been out there. But, you know, he decided not to. So we go into the offseason and I've seen a reaction in which I kind of get this is some fans don't want him to talk because when he talks, he tends to say things like thinking it is overrated or
it doesn't do any good. Right.
So I
get that, that would be the reaction. Yeah.
It just like the whole accountability is such a word they throw around here. And, you know, he's the one who does not hold himself accountable, at least publicly, as far as I know. From what I hear, like the interview process has been good. He's been involved, but not the only voice, you know, in the room. It's Woody, it's Christopher, it's Jaime, Rick Spielman, Mike Tannenbaum, and it's been those five asking all the questions. Mike Tannenbaum, I think, has been the leader in terms of like making calls, setting up interviews, like the quick interview request barrage that they had yesterday, I think was Tannenbaum. But yeah, you know, I think there was a little awkwardness in terms of just like Jeff Ulbrich having, he handled it with class and he did his best, but ultimately it's Woody needed to be the one who spoke and he decided not to. So we'll talk to him at the earliest, whenever they hire a coach and GM, I would think at the latest at the owners meetings, but at some point he'll have to speak to us. So
sometime. All right. Should we move on to all those requests and all these new candidates for the head coach and GM position? Obviously, they've already interviewed Ron Rivera, Mike Vrabel. We talked a lot about last week coming off your story about Vrabel. Rex Ryan lined up and very confident that he's going to get this job. Rex talks the talk. That is for sure. Vrabel, obviously, since we last recorded, the Patriots have fired Jerod Mayo. So it seems... I mean, I think everybody would be shocked, right? If Vrabel doesn't end up in New England, it just seems like that's why they fired Jerod Mayo, was like, this guy's available and we're going to make this move. So let's move on to the other coaches. Do you want to start with who they requested or who they didn't request? Maybe we start there.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson not requested. And he's obviously going to be one of the hot coaching candidates. Is that because they just kind of know he's not interested in this job? What's the reasoning for not wanting to at least interview Ben Johnson, who everyone else was going to interview, I think?
Yeah, I gotten some rumblings that Ben was not interested in this job like weeks ago. I think he's been very selective in general. If you look at last year, he just pulled himself out of the head coaching races. He's not going to take every interview. I think he's been requested by the Jaguars, Patriots, and Bears. We'll see if he takes all three. All three have better quarterback situations than the Jets, and that's ultimately what I think it's going to come down to for him. I still have questions about who he is as a leader because I just don't know. Like that's the big unknown with him. He's very clearly like a genius at play calling. He's very creative and clever, but he wouldn't be the first creative genius to become a head coach and not like be able to run the whole operation. So I have questions about that and the idea of throwing it, making him one of the highest paid coaches and stuff, but I get the interest. Anyway, the Jets, I think, probably get the vibe that he's not interested, and so they're not pursuing him. And, you know, I have a story that's out this morning about all the things I'm hearing about the GM and head coaching search. They haven't requested some of the guys I think they would have or will still potentially. Liam Cohen is the big one. The Buccaneers, I'd heard he's a top candidate for them. He only just got his first request today. I don't think they're done requesting, but I think this is like their first wave. They're not going to be able to interview any of these people in person until January 20th. The virtual interviews can only go through the 19th, but guys who are playing this weekend can't interview until next week virtually. So it's like, it's a very convoluted process. I think they're going to do their due diligence, which some people have made fun of them, which I think is ridiculous. Do your due diligence, talk to everybody. They're talking to experienced people, inexperienced. This isn't my story. One of the guys they requested is Arthur Smith. I don't think he's going to be interested. So I know Jets fans were pretty upset when they heard that they requested him. I don't think he's going to be interested, and I don't think he'll be the Jets coach. Cliff Kingsbury is another one I heard that won't really have interest. The Jets liked him in the past. They did not request him, so maybe they know that. And there's some other names out there that I have in the story. Like Anthony Lynn is a unique name that I heard recently. Coached the Chargers for a while. He's kind of bounced around the league a little bit. He's a running backs coach in Washington. He was on Rex Ryan's Jets staff. He's a name I heard that they've at least done research on. So there's some names that they haven't interviewed yet. There's some that they don't need to request interviews for, like college coaches or fired coaches like Rex, or if they decide to interview like Doug Peterson, or let's say Mike McCarthy gets fired, they could request Mike right now technically, but
you really want the fan base to revolt.
Yeah.
That one.
I don't think they're done requesting necessarily, but this is the first wave, and it's a very interesting group of candidates. I don't know if you want to do the head coaching group first. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go through the head coaches, that were requested. We'll start. We mentioned Ben Johnson. Let's stay with the Lions and the other side of things. Aaron Glenn, obviously the defensive coordinator there, was, if you saw Monday Night Football, Lions, Vikings, I mean, the things that defense did against Sam Darnold were super impressive, and what they've done all year, despite being shorthanded too. First round pick of the Jets back in 1994. He was a Pro Bowl corner for the Jets. And he worked for the Jets at one point along the way, but let's start there. How serious a candidate is Aaron Glenn?
I think he's the most serious candidate. I still think Vrabel is a number one target. I do believe that. I don't know that there's confidence he'll become the Jets coach after the Patriots open. Vrabel is interviewing for the Bears job. It wouldn't surprise me he's going to interview for the Patriots, obviously. Wouldn't surprise me if he even interviewed for another one, maybe. Not sure which one, but... I don't think that's going to wrap up immediately. I know, and we addressed this last week, I'll say it again, he was not using the Jets for leverage. He doesn't need leverage. I think the fact that maybe the Patriots saw it as, oh crap, we can't let him go to the Jets, I don't think that's the case. They fired him as soon as the game ended. I think that decision was made before Sunday, if anything, maybe a week or two before that. I don't think the Jets, Robert Kraft was sweating a little bit that he hadn't fired a coach yet and that the Jets were talking to him. But ultimately, Rabel's intentions were genuine with the Jets interview. I think it was a very good interview from both sides, and that going forward, like, he's going to take the Bears interview, which is tomorrow, I believe. He's going to do his due diligence. Ultimately, I still think he winds up with the Patriots, but again, it was not a leverage play. But anyway, that was a little sidetracked. But Aaron Glenn, I think he's the top candidate. The main resistance I hear from people, number one, not been a head coach. That's a fair criticism. You never know what you're getting with someone who has not been a head coach. That's a fact. Number two is they shouldn't hire a defensive coach again. It never works. It doesn't matter. I'm like so tired of hearing that crap. It doesn't matter if you're a defensive or offensive coach. You need the best coach who can run an operation. Hopefully they come with a plan like, this is going to be who my offensive coordinator is, and that's a good plan. Ideally, it's not an inexperienced offensive coordinator, because that can be bad. But ultimately, you want the best leader who can change the culture when you're coming to this building. And Aaron Glenn has that ability. He's a really good defensive play caller. The game on Sunday night definitely didn't hurt him. They were dominant. And I think he's doing this with like maybe the most injured group in the NFL. Like, that defense is playing well, and they've lost like half their best players. Like, Aiden Hutchinson hasn't played all year. He might come back, but Aaron Glenn's a leader. He has a unique background in that he started in scouting, which you can't really say for coaches usually. So I think he is a good evaluation. I've seen people saying he's just another Todd Bowles. Like, I do not see that. Todd Bowles does not really have much personality. I think he's a solid football coach, but he was not a head coach material for the Jets. I think Aaron Glenn would know what he's getting into, and I believe this team would rally around him. So I'm pro Aaron Glenn, and I think he's the most likely candidate still.
All right, next, Brian Flores, currently Vikings defensive coordinator. He was the Dolphins head coach back in 2019 to 2021. Famously didn't get along with Tua during that stretch. Did have two winning seasons, though. And then maybe more famously, a lawsuit after being fired and all of that. There's a lot of baggage there with Flores, but he seems to have kind of put it behind him with the Vikings. He's part of that Belichick coaching tree, which has mixed results, to put it politely.
Yeah, Flores would maybe be my top target if not Vrabel. Like, I like Glenn, but Flores won a little bit in Miami, not like a lot. And obviously, there's a lot of stuff. I think he's probably learned a lot. He's done an amazing job as a DC for the Vikings, and they play a different style of defense. He's going to blitz the crap out of it. And I actually think that like someone like Sauce will like that, because as long as the guys are getting pressure up front, that makes his job a little easier. Might make it more likely that he gets interceptions. The leadership part of it, like, he probably would ruffle some feathers, but I think that might be what they need here. They need somebody who, like, a new sheriff in town type of guy. It seems like the Vikings players do love Flores, which is notable, because I don't think the Dolphins players did. So maybe he's learned something there. But like, he's in the Vrabel mold of a number one experienced coach, respective players. He comes from the Patriots tree technically. I think he's a little different than that staff, but, he'd be number one, if not Vrabel, but if Vrabel, I have him at two, or like two around the same area as Glenn, I would say, with the experience being a benefit for him. And I think he would probably be able to fill a pretty good staff too, which is notable.
Joe Brady, Bill's offensive coordinator. He's only 35 years old, a younger guy. His star started to rise back in the college ranks. He was the OC at LSU at Joe Burrow when they won the national title. And then he kind of went in there and completely changed that offense in 1 year. And then he's had success, right, with the Panthers, now with the Bills. I guess more with the Bills and Josh Allen than when he was with the Panthers. Yeah. But he was the QB coach with the Bills. They fired the offensive coordinator, and he really seems to have clicked with Josh Allen there.
Yeah, it didn't go well for him in Carolina, but he's a young coach still. I want to look at how old he is, actually, because
35.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically my age. So he's young, but yeah, he's done a really good job in Buffalo. I think the offense got a lot better with him than it was with Ken Dorsey. He's,
Ken Dorsey, who was fired again over the weekend.
Yeah. Geez, brutal. Yeah. By the way, just a little mini sidetrack. When I went to Cleveland for the Vrabel story, I went to Browns practice a couple of days, and I was there for Ken Dorsey's press conference for like the coordinators. And my God, the most like droll, boring, bland stuff ever. No disrespect to him, but it was very boring. Joe Brady's an interesting one. I think he's kind of the mold of what the Jets fans seem to want, which is a creative offensive play caller. And I get it, but I don't know what Brady is like in terms of leadership. So that'd be the question. And who his defensive coordinator would be another question.
All right. These next two are interesting because, Bobby Slowick, Texans offensive coordinator, but worked under Kyle Shanahan from 2017 to 2022. It would be interesting for this team after Saleh and LaFleur to go back that route again. It just seems unlikely that they would choose that offensive system and that sort of approach.
Yeah, I'm not as, I don't get the sense people are very excited about that one in terms of like the fan base. And I can't see, unless he like blew the Jets away in his interview. Like the Texans offense took a step back this year to a degree, and CJ Stroud did not have as good of a year. And
have looked terrible against the Jets too.
I was about to say the Jets have out-schemed him intensely. So I don't know. I think I'd rather interview Mike LaFleur than Slowick, because I think that'd be funny personally. But Slowick I'm not as high on, but you know, I don't know. Maybe he's a leader. I don't know. I don't know that he's another super young guy. I'd lean no on Slowick, but notable that they're interviewing him at least.
Taylor Delgado says LaFleur was good. I'll die on that. There you go. And then the other one from the Niners, Brian Griese, which is fascinating.
Yeah, that
QB
one
was coach since 2022. That's his only coaching experience. Obviously, he worked in television for a long time after a long playing career. I guess I just don't get that one at all as far as like interviewing somebody to be a head coach.
Yeah, that was, I feel like sometimes with these interviews, they're also interviewing somebody as a potential OC. And I would hope that's all they're doing with him and another candidate we'll get into. It's a little more fun to talk about. But, you know, Griese, I remember him when he was at the Broncos as a player, like growing up, like watching him. He was a pretty good quarterback, bounced around the league a little. But yeah, he was in broadcast for the longest time. He now has the Shanahan background while also having like the quarterback background. And I messaged somebody I'm cool with on the 49ers staff. He was very high on Griese as like a person. He was surprised that he got a head coaching interview though. So I'm very interested to see how that one plays out. It's, you know, out of left field names a lot of times can sneak up. Like I covered the Giants coaching search when I was transitioning over to the Giants coaching search. When they interviewed Joe Judge, nobody had heard of him, and then he got the job. So anybody can go into an interview and blow them away with a plan, the way they talk about things, what they say about what they want to do at quarterback. So you can't, anybody who's interviewing with the Jets, I don't think you can rule out completely, but it'd be pretty shocking if Brian Griese leaped that far.
You teased guys that maybe are in the room more for the OC job. I assume you're talking about Josh McCown, Vikings QB coach. We've seen what Sam Darnold has done, and obviously a lot of the credit goes to McConnell for that. But the QB coach has to be a part of it, and that's been Josh McCown. Just 2 years experience for him too as a coach.
I mean, maybe Josh could convince Sam Darnold to come back home too, because they're very close. I covered the Eagles. It was right after McCown left the Jets. He was the backup to Carson Wentz, and I did like a deep dive on how much he'd become like a coach for the team when I was with the Eagles. And that, like, just from the way people talked about him in that building, I was like, this guy's gonna be a head coach pretty soon. And then there was that brief moment where it seemed like the Texans were gonna hire him, and then they got absolutely destroyed. And then they were like, oh no, we're not gonna do that. I don't know what you're talking about. And that's when they hired David Coley, I believe, or there's another coach they fired after 1 year, I'm blanking on. But you know, he had some juice about that for a little bit. I think he needs more experience. I don't think he's ready to be a head coach yet. I think has head coaching genes in his DNA, and he's beloved by players. He's very smart. He was the most traveled quarterback ever. Like, he played for almost every team, every possible offensive system. He played with quarterbacks, played with different coordinators and coaches. So he brings a very unique perspective, but I'd be more into him, especially with the Flores combo. I think it'd be fun if it was McCown OC, Flores head coach. I think I've seen that a lot, but not, I mean, you know, Aaron Glenn too. Like, I think you'd prefer an OC that has a little experience calling plays, but I trust McCown's brain and his mind and the different kind of offenses he can meld together in theory. So he's a fun candidate, especially because of his Jets ties. You know, he's going to win the interview. They're going to love him in that building. He played pretty well for the Jets for a couple of years. But again, would be surprised if he was the head coach unless the Jets are kind of failing to convince any of these top targets to take the job.
All right, a couple more. Matt Nagy, well-known guy that's been around. Current Chiefs OC. Bears head coach from 28 to 21. That didn't go really great. He's a Northeast guy as well. Played at Delaware, from Pennsylvania. And it's just a real familiar name, I think, for NFL fans.
Yeah, you know, I think Brian Costello was the first one to suggest him as a candidate. I'm just pulling up his record. Yeah, so he was the cause, brought that up, and everybody lost their mind. I think in retrospect, he's aged decently based on what's happened after that in Chicago. It's gotten so much worse. I mean, he got worse over the course of his tenure. He went 12-4, lost in the playoffs, 8-8, 8-8, lost in the playoffs, 6-11. So a winning record over 4 years, which, you know, the Jets would love to have a winning record over 4 years. He's a flawed and maybe not the most creative, but, you know, he's now been under Andy Reid the last couple of years calling plays with Patrick Mahomes. The whole case that Cos made makes sense, where like, okay, if Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes calls Woody and gives an endorsement, is that going to seal the deal? The Jets are interested. We'll get into the GM candidates. They're interested in somebody in Kansas City. So I think Nagy is a legit candidate. I don't think he's as bad as some on the list, but I also understand why people aren't excited by it, is what I would say.
All right, one more. Vance Joseph. This is terrible, but I didn't realize or didn't remember that Vance Joseph was a head coach in the NFL. 2 years with the Broncos, 11 and 21 in that time. So not a great run. Now back with the Broncos as a defensive coordinator. So even though he failed as a head coach, clearly they liked him in Denver.
Yeah. I mean, he just turned that Broncos defense into something like special.
Yeah.
But I think what they're interviewing a lot of candidates that have head coaching experience, and he's on that list. And so, you know, again, I don't blame them doing their due diligence. That would be a very underwhelming hire at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But if they're looking for experience and some, you know, I mean, he's a defensive coach, which goes against what every Jets fan seems to want. So yeah, I don't think anybody would be happy with that, but I don't blame them for talking to him.
It's good to talk to people for sure. All right, GM candidates that were requested. We'll start with the one you just mentioned, which is the Chiefs assistant GM. And when you look down this list, they're knocking on the right trees as far as organizations, I think. But Mike Borgonzi, Chiefs assistant GM, been there since 2009. He kind of went all the way up the ladder with the Chiefs.
Yeah,
almost to the top.
So before I even get into the specific candidates, it's pretty unique that right now the Jets are the only GM opening. Like, it might not stay that way, but I can't remember an offseason where that was the case. All these head coach fires, but the GM's staying safe. Like, it's crazy that teams are doing that. Joe Shane being safe, Trent Baalke surviving is bonkers to me. He's an awful GM. And Shad Khan basically was like, the head coach is going to report to me. And also whoever we hire as head coach could change my mind about firing him, which means you made the wrong choice by keeping him. But anyway, the Jets have the only opening. And as we always say, there's only 32 of these. So that helps them in these situations. And Borgonzi, someone who's interviewed for jobs in the past, I think he's been selective. He's in a great situation. He would be my number one target. I feel like he's at the top of their list from what I gather, or near it at least, because of his ties to the Brett Veach, is one of the best GMs in the NFL. So he'd be someone that'd be very intriguing. If you're hiring somebody that doesn't have experience leading the way, the complications with hiring GM candidates is that, like, you don't know what these guys actually do when they're not the GM. Like, you can, you know, oh, he runs the draft, this and this. You don't actually know. So that's why teams generally tend to target GMs from well-run organizations like the Eagles, the Ravens, the Chiefs, Lions now, things like that, because you just hope that they're in that culture and they learned a lot and then they can bring that to the table. And so that's what you'd be hoping for with Borgonzi.
Speaking of the Eagles, Alec Hallaby, the Eagles assistant GM since 2022. He had 6 years VP of football operations there too. Another guy who was with a top class organization for a long period of time.
Yeah. And he's really, been a big part of their like analytics department in Philly. So he's very analytical GM, I think, in the Andrew Berry type mold is what I would say. I don't know a lot about him in terms of the impact he made behind the scenes, but the Eagles have done a really good job producing GMs, potential GMs, front office people. Like Brandon Brown and Ian Cunningham are both on the list of people I think the Jets will interview, and they both came through the Eagles. So it's an interesting name that I hadn't thought of when I was building the list that I was thinking of candidates.
All right, some guys that do have GM experience. Ray Farmer, currently the Rams senior personnel exec. He was the Browns GM back in 2014 and 2015.
Yeah, Ray Farmer. Yeah, you know, it didn't go very well when he was in Cleveland. I don't think it goes very well for many people when they're in Cleveland, though. So hard to blame for that. He's been with the Rams. Again, well-run organization, less need. From what I understand, Jordan Rodriguez tweeted this. I think he's run the draft room for them, and he has experience. He's well-respected around the league. So, again, not maybe won't be the most exciting hire, but he's somebody that's being in the Rams organization is a good one to pull from, I would say.
Ryan Grigson is an interesting name. Had a lot of success with the Colts. I mean, he was there 2012 to 2016. Never had a losing season when he was Indy. He did have Andrew Luck as his quarterback, which is helpful. Chuck Pagano was the head coach that whole time as well. So had success there. Obviously, the success started better than it kind of went downhill from the start slowly. And then he's been with the Vikings here as the VP of player personnel.
And I believe he had a pit stop in Philly. Let me pull that up real quick.
Yeah,
he was director of, oh no, that was before the Colts. Okay, so that, but he was with the, in the Seahawks organization briefly too. Yeah, you know, he's out of the experienced candidates. I think he's an intriguing one. I think he's aged pretty well in Indy because they've been a disaster. Chris Ballard got all this hype and he keeps saving, he keeps being safe, even though he fails to find a quarterback year after year after year. And I know you're not doing much work when you draft Andrew Luck number one overall, but it's pretty clear that Grigson did a better job of building a winning roster than Chris Ballard has. So, you know, if the Jets are looking for an experienced candidate, I don't know that the list is very long of like guys they can get. And so I think he would be one of the top ones. And I think he has a legit shot at this job, I would say.
All right, then the last one, I think last one, Trey Brown, Bengals senior personnel exec. Senior personnel exec is like clearly the, like the difference between that and assistant GM to me is, yeah. I don't know. But he was also with the Eagles.
Yeah, Trey Brown, he's not one I really knew much about before yesterday. I think he's another analytics heavy guy. The Bengals have done a pretty good job of building that roster, though it fell apart this year defensively. I don't know enough about him to really comment completely, but He's a unique one, especially because of the analytics background. I think they're pulling from all these different walks of like GM history or like backgrounds, which I think is interesting for sure. Like I think some of these guys could hypothetically be candidates to be an assistant GM as well.
I think that's it, right? Those are the requests.
Ian Rapoport just reported one. The Packers VP of player personnel, John Eric Sullivan. Don't know anything about him, so I can't comment completely. But key lieutenant to Brian Gutekunst, the Packers GM. He's risen up the ranks in Green Bay over the last two decades, Ian said. Packers are a consistent winner. Another good organization to pull from, ultimately. I don't know if he has a relationship with Aaron or if that would impact
him. I was going to say, that probably means Aaron definitely isn't coming.
I would think he at least knows him. Yeah, truly. Yeah, if he's Gutekunst's lieutenant, Aaron hated Gutekunst. So, yeah, I don't know much about this guy, but, you know, getting a one candidate from all the winning organizations is not the worst idea.
Yeah. All right. I did want to touch on the picks pool, which rolls along. And the reason I want to touch on it is here's a look at where we sit. If you're checking us out on YouTube, you can see the standings. It is a two-way tie at the top right now. And because of that, we're going to let this thing play out throughout the playoffs and decide it at the end of, let's try to get this going here. Here we go. Historic STE 103, Joe 2356 103. So we're going to let the picks continue through the playoffs, decide the champion, let them decide it on the field, not go to a tiebreaker right now. It's actually what we've always done with the picks, Zach. When it's been just the people on the pod that's doing it or whatever, is we've always gone through the Super Bowl. So we will continue to do that and to decide who gets the big watch prize this year. Yeah. So keep going, guys. They've separated themselves by four picks. So with limited playoff games, and you have to pick all the playoff games, it'd be hard, I think, for anyone else to catch up. But who knows? There's a big weekend this weekend, and if somebody makes a move, they could close that gap for sure. So I just wanted to throw that out there and remind people, if you're still going, to get those picks in. We also may have something for whoever finishes with the highest percentage, because I realize along the way, people miss a week here, miss a week there. So somebody that has done the majority of the weeks and maybe has the best percentage, even though they don't have the highest total, I think we'll have something for them as well. So keep those picks coming. Zach, the offseason begins. Time to win it. Any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
Yeah. I mean, for fun, we should just quickly make our picks for this weekend's game.
Oh, right.
Because I think there's some totally fun games. So I figure we might as well. We haven't done picks in a long time. This playoffs feels, I mean, the NFC, it feels like the Lions are the favorite, but this feels like the one of the more loaded, like in terms of how good these teams are.
All right, let's go in chronological order, and we'll just take turns picking. We start on Saturday afternoon, Chargers at Texans. I'm going to go with the road team in this one. I'll take the Chargers. I think they're hot. I think they've kind of changed the whole vibe there this year in Harbaugh's first season. And I think they go into Houston and win.
I mean, minus three favorites on the road, too.
Yeah, they have a better record. They're just not the division champs.
Yeah, the Texans have been pretty unimpressive this year generally. So, yeah, I agree. And the Chargers defense is really good. Their defensive coordinator, actually, I'm surprised, hasn't gotten interview requests yet. Jesse Minter, he's very young, but he's someone who's been talked about a lot. Yeah, I think Chargers win that one.
Steelers Ravens in Baltimore, primetime game on Prime Video. It's a 10-point spread.
Yeah, wow.
I think the Ravens win, but I'll take the Steelers in those 10 points.
Yeah, I could see it being less than 10 points. The Steelers have fallen off a bit.
Yeah.
As the season has progressed, Russell Wilson has been playing well. Arthur Smith, the running game has like not been as good as expected, but the Steelers defense is very good. And you never know what you're going to see Lamar wise in the playoffs. Like this feels like a year, maybe he'll turn it around and they'll go on a run, but AFC is hard. So, but yeah, I think the Ravens win that one. Ravens Steelers are always good games though. So I have a hard time believing it'll be a blowout.
Yeah. Love rivals meeting in the wild card. All right. Yeah. Switching over to Sunday afternoon. The first game's 1 o'clock. Broncos visiting the Bills. You can go first with this one. Buffalo 8.5.
Yeah. With that line, I think I'd take the Broncos plus 8.5, but I think the Bills win. This feels like the Bills' year, if it ever was. But again, the Bills are a team that you just don't know you're going to get in the playoffs. Like Josh Allen's going to play well, but are they going to close it out? Is the defense going to hold up? Broncos are dangerous. I do think they're better than I thought they would be for sure. Bo Nix was really, really good last week. He had that crazy touchdown pass that like tipped off three different guys initially.
Yeah, play of the year, somebody. Maybe.
Yeah. And their defense is very good, but yeah, I think this is the Bills year. Like if I'm sitting here right now, I think Bills Lions is the Super Bowl if I'm predicting ahead.
Yeah. And I think the Bills cover, I think, at home, just the fired up beginning of the playoffs, Broncos inexperienced. I think they kind of roll in that, 4:30 game is the Packers visiting the Eagles. Philly favored by 4.5. You mentioned when we were talking before though, Jalen Hurts has not cleared protocols yet. That's obviously a big deal.
Yeah, that's concerning. It hurts in the playoffs has been concerning, and I'm very curious to see if this goes poorly, if Sirianni is safe. I can't imagine he would be, but
14-3.
Yeah, I mean, and this roster is absolutely, like, they should make the Super Bowl. You can't blame them if they lose to, like, the Lions or something, but I think the Eagles win ultimately. As long as Hurts plays, I think the Eagles win. Packers are very good. I think that's going to be a really, really good game, though. Like, I think it's going to come down to the end, and if you tell me the Packers won that game after Sunday, I wouldn't be shocked.
See how many carries Saquon gets in that game.
His first ever playoff game, which is crazy. He played in 22, sorry.
Right.
Yeah, but only one.
He's never won a playoff game, right, though?
No, they beat the Vikings, actually, so I was way off.
Oh, that's right.
It feels like the Giants haven't made the playoffs based on how bad they are, but they did.
All right, Sunday primetime game. To me, this is kind of like the worst game of the weekend.
It's still kind of interesting.
Commanders at Bucks. Bucks by 3. It's in Tampa. Bucks by 3 is interesting. I don't know. The Commanders have just been impressive.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'll take the Commanders in that.
You know, I'll take the Bucks. I don't have a lot of confidence in that, but Baker Mayfield's been so good this year. Yes. Like his stats are right here, actually. 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns, and 16 picks. Like, that's unreal. Liam Cohen is a legit coach. But yeah, I'll say Bucks for the sake of difference.
The Bucks game was great on Sunday. It was on here in New York. And the fact that, you know, they come back, they win the game, but then final play of the game, Mike Evans needs 5 yards for 1,000 yards to tie Jerry Rice for 11 straight years. And they throw the quick pass to him on the final play of the game, despite having the game wrapped up. That was a cool moment. And they roll that momentum into the playoffs.
Before we get, there's some breaking news just now, not out of the Jets, but the Titans fired Rand Carthon, their GM, after only
there
2 years.
Number two.
And
two GMs.
Two GM openings. And, you know, part of my story was that Mike Vrabel thought they should have promoted Ryan Cowden, and instead they went with Rand Carthon. They ignored him. and the roster is a disaster in Tennessee. So
just falling apart.
Yeah, awful.
All right, final game of the weekend, wildcard weekend, is Monday night, which is interesting. Vikings at Rams. The Vikings were a win away from having a bye, home field to the Super Bowl, all that stuff. They're 14-3. And instead, they're the 5 seed and have to go on the road Monday night in LA to take on the Rams.
Yeah, I still lean on the Vikings winning. They didn't play well against the Lions, but I mean, it'd be pretty disappointing if they lose their first game in the playoffs after the year they had. But I hope Sam Darnold gets to play a couple playoff games. It'd be cool to get a Vikings-Lions rematch, but I think the Vikings win this one. Even though the Rams are not bad, I think the Vikings win.
They are Vikings are 1.5-point favorites on the road. All right, those are the games. Wildcard weekend, and then the next weekend, I think, is my favorite weekend of the playoffs, where you get the top teams back into the mix, and you know that full slate of games plays out. But this should be fun. I think all of these games have the potential to be really exciting. We'll see how it all plays out. All right, Zach, enjoy the football when you don't have to cover a game.
I know it's going to be. I get to just watch football. It's going to be fun, and you know we'll come back with a pod pretty soon, updating on the search, I think.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in all season long. And stay locked in as this team turns into off-season mode and the search continues. And we'll have all the latest news on all the possible hirings for both the GM and the head coach position. Thanks for checking out Flight Plan.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.